You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Our next guest is from the Gospel Tract Society and is the director there. Philip Buttram joins us. Gospel Tract Society publishing Bible-based Christian gospel tracts, comics, and activity books, and encouragement for the body of Christ since 1926. Philip Buttram, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Bless you, Brother Steve. It is my blessing to share the word of Jesus Christ.
Well, since 1926, and I'm going to guess now, first of all, a lot of our listeners are probably very familiar with the Gospel Tract Society, but for those not familiar, I'm going to throw it to you to give them some history, and I'm going to guess that you came in sometime between the present and 1926.
you're sharp, I'll tell you that. My father started this ministry back in the 1926, which is 98 years old. In 2 years, we celebrate our 100th anniversary. We are excited because there's very few ministries, very few countries that have the history of 100 years. But my father was studying to be a missionary in China, and he was prostrate for the Lord at an altar at a little Baptist church in Springfield, Missouri. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, "Lester, print my word." My dad said, no, God, I'm going to China. "Lester, print my word. God, I'm going to China. You called me to China." "Lester, print my word." Well, this went on for a few minutes, and after a while, my dad gave in and said, "Well, okay, God, but I don't know anything about printing." But that was the start of the ministry. At that point, the next day, Monday, he took his life savings of $7.10, took a tract to a local printer, and told the lady, "Would you print as many as you can for $7.10? And told her the story about God speaking to him. And she said, "Lester, I believe what you said is true, and I'm going to double the order at no charge." And so he began to send a tract to different people, the one tract he had. And they begin to write back and get more copies, and then they send the donations, and it begin to grow. And finally, Grandpa cleared out a stall in the back of the horse barn, and Dad purchased a little hand-operated printing press. And so he's going pretty good, and he was working full-time job and printing on the side. And the ministry grew, and one day he got a letter from a gentleman, a cattle rancher in Montana, and a $100 check. Now this is back in the 20s, and Grandma said, nope, "You man didn't know what he's doing. Send it back to him." And my dad kind of argued with her, gave in, and sent the check back to the gentleman. And a week later, received the check back in the mail with a very stern letter. I said, "Lester, God spoke to me to give you this money. Print God's word, period." And so the ministry grew. And so Dad was faithfully to print God's word. And God gave Dad a mandate to, number one, don't sell the tracts, the gospel tracts. And number two, use strictly his word, not denominational backing or theology or man's word, but strictly God. So we have held true to that conviction, that mandate for 98 years. And all of our material is Bible-based. Our letters are Bible-based. They're not doctrine with anyone, just the word of God. And it has grown. Dad worked for 40 years and two jobs to support the ministry and the family. And then in the 60s, the ministry grew to the point that he was able to quit his jobs and work solely in the ministry. And it has been a family-based ministry. I had three older brothers, three younger sisters. And so as time would have it, and, Dad passed away, Mom ran the ministry. When she passed away, my oldest brother ran the ministry until he passed away. And it fell down to the third brother. And 10 years ago, God told him to ask me to take over the ministry and for him to leave the ministry. And at the time, I was a HVAC engineer traveling the country, and I had a long resume of doing different things. And And I said, you know, I've got to be in this next town in 20 minutes. So I'll do it later. Talk to you later. And after a while, I was convinced by my wife that I would regret not taking over the leadership of the ministry if I did not do it. And I did not know that I was called to the ministry for several years. But when I was doing a meeting in Southern Kansas, Lord revealed to me that I had been called, that he specifically called me 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when I was a advertising director for a blue chip firm. And I knew God was stirring the nest, you know, in the thorns, and I had to do something. And I was walking out of this complex and praying to God. And finally, after weeks of praying, asking for guidance, God said, come home. And I said, come home? Come home. Well, he didn't mean to heaven, but back to Independence, Missouri. I said, no, that's too easy. Give me something hard. Like go to China, go to Russia, India. I said, no, come home. I said, no, Dad, give me a job in a second. I said, that's too easy. Come home. So I quit my job, and 3 months later, we moved back to the Independence area. But God has blessed the ministry because we are faithful to his word. We're faithful to his calling. And I firmly believe that every person has a calling on their life, whether or not they know it, whether or not they look for it, or if they know it and just not actually working it. I really believe that everyone needs to be busy about the Father's business, and that time is so short. And I look for more doors to open up for this ministry, GTS. We're pretty new. I'm pretty new. Tracked on the web for about one tract a day. Published. We have over 900 titles in stock. Tracks, comic books, activity books for kids. And we are, a lot of people say that the electronic age is overtaking the paper age. But we are so busy. Last week I talked to a gentleman who was an associate with a major denomination, and they were a ministry outreach to New York. And he wanted 3,000 comic books. And I think it was 5,000 Spanish and Chinese and English tracks. And it's like there's a greater need now for the printed page than there ever has been before. And I think because the electronic media is a throwaway, you know, a message comes across the phone, the internet, you click, it's gone forever. But a piece of paper will last. And if that piece of paper carries the anointed word of God, whenever it is read, the Spirit is released and has the opportunity to draw that person closer to the Lord.
Yeah, it's very encouraging to see the results of so many of the tracks that have been used over the years. As you went through the history, Philip, your father, Lester, again, if people just tuning in, Lester Buttram in 1926 founded the Gospel Tract Society. And as you're going through the history, something occurred to me that, KLYT, which is, where this interview is being broadcast,
yes.
Is on the campus of Calvary Church in Albuquerque, which goes back, its roots go back to Chuck Smith and the Calvary Chapel movement in California and the mm-hmm. Jesus movement of the 60s. And one thing Chuck Smith was routinely known to say when people would come to him about potential ideas for ministry was, where God guides, God provides.
Oh, yeah.
That's certainly the case we see through the ministry of the Gospel Tract Society and what's occurred there over the years. The other thing, I'd encourage our listeners to go to gospeltractsociety.org and check out some of the history there. And one of the things that stood out to me too, Philip, your father founding this ministry and then brothers, obviously part of it, but the Buttram name is, there's still many of the family that are well involved in the ministry with others, and people going to the website can peruse that and see the staff and volunteers, including, by the way, your mascot Murphy, which I'm going to leave it at that and let the kind of as a tease to draw the listener to go see about Murphy on the website. But is the ministry as intimate as you know it might appear going to the website and just seeing you know what God can do with a small group of people? But you know, is there much more involved than we're seeing there?
First of all, I lay no claim for Murphy being on the webpage. Our web developer did that. but we are a small staff. I have 4 people locally. I have 2 that work remote. But I have found that it doesn't matter the number, it's the quality.
Yeah.
And to testimony of God, just as that first print shop doubled Dad's order to get the word out, we have been blessed. There have been many, many times that it's come, you know, 11:30, 11:45, look at that midnight hour of money being due. But God has been faithful. When I came back in 2014, I'll just tell you the truth. We had enough money in the bank for 2 weeks of payroll. And I had a staff meeting. I said, guys, we're going to do 1 of 2 things. We're either going to shut the ministry down and give it a decent burial. We're not going to shame it or embarrass it. Or God is going to raise it up. The latter happened. God has raised it up. That year, God put in my heart to buy a new printing press. And I, you know, like, okay, God, where's this money going to come from? In September, our offering, mail offering, just began to increase. And I looked at my bank balance and said, Lord, what's going on? 3 months later, the end of December, 1st of January, we were able to buy a digital printing press with cash. We bought the press because we did not want to strap the ministry with the monthly payments. It was the prudent thing to do. But God has always, always met the need. He knows the need before he gives the call. And most people don't really bank on that. But I am so sold on the word of God as being faithful and true to his word. If he calls somebody, he knows what it's going to cost. It both physically, mentally, financially. When that first week, our buildings are 2 buildings joined together. We have a long hallway between the two, and I was walking down the hallway, getting ready to step up to the next level. And just as I raised my foot, the spirit said, "Philip, you're going to come under attack." And I thought, "Wait a minute. What do you mean under attack? I'm in perfect health. You know, I've flown commercially. I have first class physical all my life. I am solid. I feel good." The next week, I began to cough. To make a long story short, I was coughing so hard and so strong that the pressman, which is maybe 50 feet away with the presses running, came to check on me to see if I was okay. Bottom line was I was in the middle of congestive heart failure. There was a birth defect that I had known about for years, and the FAA had known about, but it was benign. It was no big deal. When I took leadership, a valve in my heart began to calcify and basically wasn't working. Okay, long story, I went to the doctor. Oh, you need to go to see a surgeon. The surgeon said, "We need to take care of this." I said, "Well, when you can't do it?" He said, "Well, let me check." Came back next Tuesday. It's a long story, but in that process, the procedure, there were a couple times that I almost died. At one point, my blood pressure was 20 over 10. I had 3 nurses sitting with me for 18 hours, pumping fluids into me. But God had a call. In the recovery, in the hospital, I don't know how many people I witnessed to, not me, the Spirit witnessed to. I had nurses come up and do a procedure, and the Spirit would start talking to me. And she would stop the procedure, or her assistants, and tears would run down her cheeks. When the message was through, the procedure went on. I don't know what God said to these dear people, but God has knowledge of what's going to cost physically, but he knows the end. He's going to meet the need, and he's going to pull you through. We can't go through any storm without God knowing we're there. and seeing a way out of the storm for us to come in victory. Our names are written down on his hand. When he talks to us, he doesn't say, hey, you there with a crew cut. Philip, go home. He knows our name. He knows what we're going to face tomorrow. And he has made provisions if we will just trust him. And this ministry is a proven fact of his trust. Every time there's been a need, he has met that need financially, spiritually. When I sat down to write a letter, I told the staff, I don't want to write a letter. God will give me a thought, an inspiration. His word will come alive. And then I will work on weeks, 3-4 weeks to do the research in the scripture and pray about it. And when I sat down to write, the Holy Spirit begins to speak. We get letters from people, and I say, okay, it's a letter, right? It's just paper. No. The Holy Spirit will speak to people when we are obedient to his word. If he tells us to, hey, go talk to this person on the street, we don't have to know that they're depressed, that they're going to divorce, or about to commit suicide. If we are just obedient to his word and give them a gospel tract, maybe a testimony, share with them a little bit of love, these people, the world doesn't know love. If we will just share a little bit of love with them, then the Holy Spirit has opened door to minister to them.
It's great to see opportunity through the Gospel Tract Society, which, if you just tuned in, we're visiting with Philip Buttram, the director of the Gospel Tract Society. We've heard a little bit about the history and God's work to keep this ministry going, which, by the way, before we go to a break, I want to make sure that the listener knows, again, the website is gospeltractsociety.org. On that homepage, there's a place where you can come alongside the ministry on the Donate Now button, just as that first printer did back in 1926 when Lester Buttram took his life savings of what a little over $7 and saw it. The loaves and fish come to mind in some of what I'm hearing, Philip, and it's great to hear. But when we come back, I want to, especially maybe for the younger listeners, explain a little bit more what exactly a tract is. Okay. I know we talked about it a little bit, but just how easy it is to share the love of Christ and the good news, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others that cross our path on a daily basis. Can you stay with us through the break?
Amen. We're here.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be back with Philip Buttram with the Gospel Tract Society right after this on ABQ Connect. We're in the midst of a conversation with Philip Buttram with the Gospel Tract Society. And in our first segment, which, by the way, if you missed it, I encourage you to go back when we have it posted on the website at abqconnect.online and go through the entire history of the Gospel Tract Society linearly, not as itemized as it could be, because there's a lot of history and we would be here all day sharing that. And it is encouraging to hear what God's done in this work since 1926 when Philip's dad Lester founded the ministry. But as I said before we went to the break, Philip, there has to be, and when I say young people, I mean even in their 20s and 30s, that may not ever have held, they may have been raised in a Christian home, but tract, what are you talking about? But I know in my lifetime and in my time as a Christian since the 80s, that, there's been opportunity to either personally hand a tract to someone or leave a tract for someone and pray. And actually, I'll let you go into more of that. What exactly is a gospel tract? And as we're used, how can we pray and watch God do an amazing work?
I could talk all day about both of those. Simply put, a gospel tract can be in a form of just a small 2x2 card or an 8-page pamphlet. It's just a mini message presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our tracts are, in some cases, like a mini sermon. They can be about healing or salvation, depression or suicide. It's a device that you can leave with someone that they can read after you've gone, after even days, weeks or months. There's a gentleman that was a biker. He was one of the original Hells Angels in L.A. He was mean. He was so mean that when you get drunk or get on drugs, that his other bikers would lock him in the barn. And he tells a story that he was in the barn. They'd been locked in the barn for 3 days, and they would feed him underneath the door. They give him a plate of food. And so after they let him out after the third day, he went to Western Union, and he's standing in line, hoping to have some money telegraphed to him from his family back in Georgia. And he said there's this kid, and he described it as a kid, walking on the line, handing out pieces of paper. And Gus said he took the paper, looked at it, and, oh, it's not for me, it's junk, and tried to throw it down. And he tried three times to throw it down, and it stuck to his thumb. And so he put it in the piece of paper in his pocket, put his other hand over his pocket, pulled his thumb off of it, and then went into Western Union. Later that night, he was at one of the gang members' home when they had eaten, and he had big old boots up on the coffee table, and a still small voice mentioned that piece of paper in his pocket. He pulled it out and read it. It was a gospel tract. It was the message of salvation. He said that right then and there, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Years later, he said, you know, I don't know if that piece of paper stuck to my hand because I was so dirty, grimy, and filthy, or if the Holy Spirit just wouldn't let it go. Either way, a young man handed out tracts to people he did not know. The tract is the Word of God. Okay. God will take that any opportunity he can to minister to somebody. And that's all the tract is. I like to be able to tell people, always carry a tract with you. Never leave home without the gospel tracts. And then we have tracts for kids, for teenagers, for, you know, adults, or people in prison and hospitals, just, you know, whatever the category is, we have a tract for it. And if we don't prepare, you know, for rainy day or, you know, sun on the beach or war or whatever, if we're not prepared, then we're caught off guard. If we will carry, maybe we like one title, it really strikes our fancy. If we just carry that and give it to when God speaks to you, say, do it. God's word will go forth. We have a friend in the ministry. She her purse is full of tracts. And she said one day she's driving. She lives outside of Chicago. And she saw a man at a gas station pumping gas. And she just felt that the prompting of the Spirit to stop and talk to him. So as she's pulling in the gas station, she's going through a purse. And she picked out a tract and parked and walked with the guy and said, here, God loves you. She said, the guy looked at her and said, no, you don't understand. I'm going to hell. She stops. Okay. She started coming back out and said, but God loves you. No, lady, you don't understand. I'm going to hell. But God loves you. Lady, I'm on my way to kill somebody. Then I'm going to commit suicide and go to hell. But God loves you. He took the tract, finished pumping gas, got in his truck, and drove off. And she lived in a very small town. There was no news of a murder-suicide in that town. I don't know what happened. I do know that God prompted her to minister his word to someone who was hurting. And that's what it is. People hurt. People are angry. They hurt inside. And they're fearful. We have the answer. We have the peace of God. God has the answer for every situation in a person's life. We have to be vessels.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to a message this weekend that reminded us. You know, we taking a look at the landscape of our country and how divided it has become, and how, you know, we can try to legislate answers or vote people into office that would solve these issues. And we talk about these issues often on this show, and often, I shouldn't say often, it routinely comes back to, listen, fixing this, I mean, we can talk about practical ways to fix these issues, but the truth is Jesus is the answer. And in the message, and the message I heard this weekend, it was just a reminder, the fields are ripe for harvest.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
And often the people that we think are least likely to receive the good news of Jesus Christ are those that are most, you know, ripe for harvest.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, don't put God in a box. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention, because I know so many people, whether they've been walking with the Lord for a couple weeks or a couple decades, feel intimidated about evangelism and being able to be used by God to share the good news. And although, you know, obviously encourage people to know their faith well enough to articulate it to someone else and share it lovingly, here's a way. You can go online to gospeltractsociety.org and always have an answer for those that would question your faith or have a question about your faith or just want to know where that joy is that, you know, they want to have what you have. And we're out of time, but I did want to make sure that the listener knows there's all kinds of different tracks, and they can go and listen and watch and read and look at the various ones and order tracks online. And if they choose to do so, to donate towards the Gospel Tract Society at gospeltractsociety.org. And earlier I had asked, how would you encourage our listeners to pray as they use these tracks? Why don't we close out our time? If you would close us in prayer, Philip Buttram, the director of Gospel Tract Society, in a prayer for the tracks that are already floating around out there and those that, God willing, our listeners will connect with and, you know, through the hand of providence, find their way to the people that need to see, read, and hear them.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we worship today. Father, we thank you for your divine spirit that has drawn us to you, Father, and has drawn everybody in the world. Thank you, Father, that your word has gone forth. Father, I ask that you would just prick the hearts of your vessels to go out to minister your word, Father. Your word is never void. It never dies. It's cast out. It will come back with fruit. Father, I pray that your word will come back with more fruit. Lord, give us the strength, the encouragement, the mental power to witness, to testify, to go out to the world, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed of you. Father, encourage your children. Encourage them, Father, to be workers in the field in this last day. Father, bring your fruit to full bloom. Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen. And, you know, as we conduct this interview, you know, me sitting in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I do want to remind the listener, as we, you know, draw you to the website at gospeltractsociety.org, you know, a reminder, obviously, there may be, more, people that, speak English as a second language, in New Mexico than a lot of other places around the country, although there's plenty of places in the country where that's the case as well. But the track's available in Spanish as well. And I believe other languages, right, Philip?
Yes, we have some track in 8 different languages.
So go and peruse the website. And obviously, if you have any questions, there's a way for you to contact the ministry, gospeltractsociety.org. Philip Buttram, director, we appreciate your time and your diligence to continue the vision of the ministry that your father, Lester, started back in 1926. Thanks again so much for your time, and I look forward to hearing from you again.
God bless you, Steve. Go with you.
All right, and thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect.